Bobby Aaliyah of Let's Create a Better World and Healthy Aging. We've got two guests today on the show. The first one about animal rights, a big animal rights convention going on this weekend, actually Thursday. We hear about this. Then the last part of the show, we're going to have family that's running across the country to bring around awareness on the genetically engineered food issue. And that would be Brett Wilson. The first guest on animal rights would be Michael Weberman, the director of Farm. All right, and the next few weeks we have some great shows coming up, so stay in touch with us. This show is all about a lot of things. And Let's Create a Better World means just that. Everything we can do to make this a more peaceful, harmonious, nuclear-free world. I'm part of a number of organizations. I'm an activist. I'm into animal rights. I'm into women's rights against the GMO industry. I'm part of an anti-war group called World Beyond Wars, the newest and best of all the coalitions of people against the wars. The goal is to stop all wars. We're going to talk about losing weight in the next few weeks. We're going to talk about exercise, dance, yoga, culture, the mind, how we think the more positive way. So stick with our show. All right, our first guest. He's with FARM, F-A-R-M. The animal rights organization is doing a lot, and it's promoting, is one of the main groups that's promoting the Animal Rights National Conference this week. His name is Michael Weber. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Hi there, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. All right, first of all, tell us about the event, and then I have some really good questions for you so we can let our people know about what animal rights is a little more in depth and what's going on in the country. First of all, what's going on with the convention, the dates, and where it's at and everything else, please?
Sure, yeah, thanks. The Animal Rights National Conference is being held from next Thursday, July 10th, to Sunday, July 13th in Los Angeles at the Westin LAX Hotel. And it's basically, it's the nation's largest annual convention regarding animal issues. And it's held, we hold it in D.C. Some years, L.A. other years, so we can kind of, you know, get the whole country involved. And it's basically mostly an event to get people already involved in animal issues to be more effective, you know, so trainings on public speaking and how to campaign on various issues. And we also do have kind of some 101 sessions for the general public who are not into the issues quite yet. So we've got sessions on the abuse of animals for food and the abuse of animals in wildlife and abuse of animals in captivity. And we also have a free exhibit hall, which is open to the public, and we allow anyone to come to one free session without paying. So, you know, just trying to kind of both get the animal activists more effective and also get the general public a little better informed as well.
Great, excellent. And about your group, FARM, tell us about that.
Sure, yeah. So FARM, well, we basically were formed out of the first animal rights conference. So so the founder and president of FARM is Dr. Alex Hirschhaft, and he also put on the first U.S. Animal Rights Conference, which was in 1981. And so he had had a vegetarian organization at the time, but it didn't really focus on the animal justice element of it. It was more kind of personal health and environmental and whatnot. And when he got attuned to animal rights issues, he hosted his animal rights conference. And from that conference, PETA was born, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, as well as our group, Farm. And we were actually the first organization to focus on the rights of farmed animals. So before that, there was no groups dedicated to promoting the idea that, you know, that basically animals raised for food matter as much as any other animal. So then that was 1981 that, again, that he founded that.
Good. Excellent. On this show, we've had a number of speakers talk about the food we should eat and why animals go through hell when they're being raised and put on the plates of people. Tell us about animal cruelty. I mean, we have and I want to make some comments also about it, but first I'd like to get your take on what's going on right now with the horrendous cruelty to animals in this country and around the world.
Yeah, well, again, I'm sure you have a very educated listener base who does know a lot about this, but the short version is that we raise an absurd number of animals for food in this country, and that basically necessitates egregious cruelty. There's really, you know, there's no way that we could possibly raise billions of animals a year for food in a way that anyone would consider humane. It's just not possible. There's not enough farm workers to give them individual care. There's not enough veterinarians to check up on them. There's not enough land and space and resources to give those animals long lives with abundant room per animal. And so just the very nature of raising billions of animals for food, again, basically mandates that they're going to be treated really horribly and that they're going to be needed to be pumped full of antibiotics in order to even be able to survive in such cramped conditions, which, of course, as I'm sure you and your listeners know, you know, weakens those antibiotics when they're used to help humans who need them. And they, you know, and it basically makes us vulnerable to superbugs. So there's really a whole host of issues that come along with raising so many animals for food. And it's a model that's being exported worldwide, you know, as the rest of the world, you know, grows its wealth, they're also growing a taste for the Western diet, the Western lifestyle, unfortunately. And so factory farming is even taking hold in, Eastern Asia and even in Africa now.
Right. Wow, that's wild. You know, yes, we do have a great base of people, but we also have a lot of new people. This is the fastest-growing radio station. I'm talking about Progressive Radio Network, and I'm blessed to have a show every Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And animal rights is an issue that not just this show, but other shows have talked about quite a bit. We have shows here on health and being a vegan and juicing, and we really, this show is about a peaceful world, and you can't have a peaceful world where you're cruelly, savagely taking animals into slaughterhouses and just torturing them. I mean, the way they do, for example, the chicken line, I'm sure you're aware of this, but for our listeners to know, that chickens, as they're coming across, they're upside down, hanging, and they go to a long line, and at the end of the line, the guy's cutting their throat, and they bleed to death, and they're still alive sometimes, quite often, and it's cruel. And guess what? But when these animals are, their throats are slipped, they see it's coming. They can smell the blood ahead of them, and they know it's coming. So what happens to their body? It gets very, very tight. And you're eating that anxiety, that tightness, when you eat meat. And I know I was with a wonderful lady yesterday talking about this, and, you know, she eats chicken, and that's fine, you know. Listen, whatever people do, whatever they do, that's their business. All we're here is to educate you and give you more slants on different things to do. But chickens are tortured that way. Not only that, but as chicks, their beaks are clipped off, and they suffer. And all the things they do to all the animals and all the factories, never do they give them a shot to stop the pain. Never do they do anything for them. They let them die in really horrible ways. So let's talk about other animal cruelties that you know about that's going around the country, or what's happening to stop them, the newest things going on. I know you have some great groups that's going to be at the conference. Tell us about the new things that are going on to stop animal cruelty.
Sure. Yeah. Well, my organization and a lot of the organizations we work with, one of the big things that we're doing is focusing on educating young people right now. And that's for a number of reasons. You know, obviously, the fact is that the younger you are, the longer you have to have your decisions make an impact. You know, someone who changes their diet at the age of 16 is going to have a lot, can spare a lot more animals to, you know, just to be perfectly frank about it, than someone who changes their diet when they're 60. And also, you know, young people are, kind of spread their decisions throughout their social networks. Now, I don't just mean online social networks, but even just their friends and family. You know, the young people kind of, when they get into something, they try to get everyone into it. That's another reason that we like to reach young people. But also, you know, we're really just, a lot of us are trying to kind of spread the message that, you know, that change begins with yourself. You know, that we live in a country that, you know, I mean, obviously our political system has some serious problems right now, but when it's functioning best, the laws reflect the will of the people, not the other way around. You know, we don't make laws that most people aren't already on board with. And so when people ask me, why aren't there more laws dictating the way that animals are treated for food, I say, well, because no one cares. Everyone keeps buying the stuff, you know, and why would a law... What lawmaker is going to propose a law that every corporation is against and that, frankly, even the people aren't really demanding in a meaningful way? I mean, maybe they say they demand it, but no one's really doing anything, you know, for it. And so a lot of us are really trying to start with young people and kind of start with the idea that what we do in our personal lives, the actions that we take, are what's going to build the system that is, you know, this, the world that we want for animals. And of course there is some difference on that. You know, some people want a world where animals are treated better, and some people, you know, want a world where basically animals aren't even being used for food, which is more the stance that our organization takes. So that's kind of a more nuanced issue. But, you know, what I tell a lot of people with that is, right now we're raising billions of animals for food, and all of us can agree that's wrong. And so when we reduce the number of animals that we're raising, that we're eating and raising, you know, that's when we can kind of maybe further debate whether we should be raising any animals at all, you know, which again, I would kind of take the stance that there's just no reason to. But the first thing is just to cut back, I think, you know, that all of us could be eating a lot fewer animals.
Absolutely. I agree with you. For those of you that are just tuning in a little bit late, my name is Bobby Elias. Let's Create a Better World. And we're talking to Michael Weberman, who is the executive director of FARM and also the program director for the National Animal Rights Conference, which will be starting in a few days in Los Angeles. And the following year, and usually in July or early August, it'll be in Washington, D.C. They go back and forth every year, which is great. And your shows are outstanding. I've heard from a lot of people. I'm definitely going I don't know about all 4 days, but I'm definitely going there. And next Saturday, we can probably give this another plug on our radio show. But let's get into another subject. And you're right. There is no action and there's no movement against the meat industries and the things going on. However, little by little, people are being aware of it, and people are eating less meat. And people in the aisles of the supermarkets, they now have more organic foods, more natural foods, more foods that are compatible to someone that wants to eat really, really healthy. Of course, it's like everything else, like Dr. Martin Luther King said years ago, change is slow, and unfortunately it is slow, but people like you and your organization are doing a lot to make this change. Tell us more about the conference and about your own personal goals and about FARM, any of those subjects that you'd like to talk about.
Sure, yeah. I wanted to quickly touch on what you said there about change being slow but happening. Sure. That's absolutely true. Actually, the last almost 10 years, the number of animals being raised and killed for food in this country has been going down almost every year, and there's a huge downward trend the first time since World War II. You know, I mean, for over 60 years, about 60 years, from 1945 to about 2005, the number of animals being eaten, both per capita as well as just the total number of animals being killed, was just going up every single year. And this is the first downward trend we've had since World War II. Even even though the population in the U.S. is going up, the number of animals eaten is going down, which is really incredible because that tells you that the per capita number is really going down. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right. There's a big shift in this direction, and I think it's huge. I think it's really, really important that people do this, you know, because it's, you said, you know, earlier that you can't have compassion without having compassion to animals, and I agree with you. I mean, compassion, the definition of compassion is basically that you treat well those who are the least like you. You know, it's
right.
Not compassionate to treat someone well who you perceive to be like you. That's just what you do. You know, being nice to your own kid isn't compassionate. That's just what you do. It's when you spread that to someone who you perceive to be different than you, that it becomes compassion. And obviously animals are those who we perceive to be the least like us. Although, in the ways that count, they're really very similar to us. You know, animals have flesh and blood. They feel pain. They fear pain. They feel pleasure. They feel joy. They feel fear. You know, a whole range of emotions and physical, you know, sensations that we feel. But I think that's really the heart of being a moral person. Is trying to be moral even to those we perceive as different than us, and even when it might be a little difficult for us, you know, even if it's inconvenient, you know, obviously our system is set up right now to make being cruel to animals very easy. You know, I mean, their animals are being used for entertainment, animals are being used for food in huge numbers, animals are being used you know, for a whole for clothing and a whole host of reasons that it's easy to be cruel to animals in our country. And so I think it really says something about us that we're starting to step away from that. You know, we're saying that even though it might be a little less convenient, you know, we're going to do things to be better, to not use animals in such large numbers. And so, the conference is going to have a whole host of these organizations. You know, obviously there's been a lot of progress this year, not just stepping away from food animals. You know, and the food animals do make up the vast majority of animals we kill for any reason in this country, and so it's the reason that we focus on them. But there has been some real progress with other issues as well. But, you know, a really big one is with the sea mammals in captivity. Obviously, this year, you know, there's the film Blackfish has really opened up people's consciousness about the fact that the animals being used in SeaWorld and other venues of entertainment, these sea animals are just really, really, really miserable, and they're surprisingly like us. And so I'm really excited to learn myself, actually, to learn more about the victories that have been going on in that area, because it's not my area of focus. I focus on the food animals, but we're going to have some, you know, really good organizations talking about the animals in sea captivity. So very excited, myself, to learn about that.
Excellent talk. Excellent run there. Everything you said is just so beautiful, and our listeners need to hear that, and that's why we have you on the show, Michael. Well, well said. Now, you know, getting back to animals again, because it's a subject that we talk about a lot on the show, and many guests talk about it. What you're doing, though, Michael, is fabulous, because your group and this convention, this conference, is raising awareness, and hopefully, and I want to meet you. I'll call you and let you know which day I want to be there. I'd love to meet you, and like to meet one or two of the so-called leaders. I'm an activist for many, many years, over 30 years at a high, high level of number of subject matters, and as you heard at the opening of the show. And I'd love to see what kind of actions or activism is going to happen within the next year by some of the leaders, including yourself and other major leaders. So I want to talk to you about that off the air after the show is over. But let me get back to animals again. You mentioned the entertainment used for entertainment and the sea creatures out used in, like, Waterworld and all these places. Let's talk about the circus. There's horrible things going on at the circus. They're fighting it. Go ahead. You want to say something on that? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that actually by interesting coincidence, the big Ringling Circus is going to be in Los Angeles the week of our conference. And so there is going to be, I think they're planning the largest circus protest in the history of circus protests, basically ever, is going to be held the day before our conference. So our conference starts on Thursday, and on that Wednesday, there's going to be a massive circus protest put on jointly by pretty much every organization that works on the issue. And that's one cool thing about our conference, is we really try to bring the organizations together. You know, obviously there's a lot of differences, and we don't hide those differences. We like, you know, we see the conference as a place where these differences can be discussed in a healthy and productive way. At the same time, though, it's really nice to get everyone in the same place and say, look, we might have some small differences, but we also agree on a whole lot. And so we're going to see that the day before the conference. We're going to see, like, 8 different groups teaming up together to send a big message to the Ringling Circus that, you know, we don't think they're welcome in our cities anymore.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to you and or whoever else is organizing this event so they can get some publicity. You know, I worked for major newspapers and radio shows prior to doing what I'm doing now, and I've been an activist, like I said. Now let's get back to animals, the circus, and also the many animals used as horses and cows and we all know about donkeys, how they're used so much all over the world. But what about bullfighting? My God. I mean, and dog fighting. It was brought out when Michael Vick got arrested for, and that's going on in various parts of the world. And these ignorant men bet on this stuff, and they just don't care about these animals. They treat them like they're slaves, and they're just...
They're
able to have fun and bet.
It's really nasty. I mean, it's using animals at the most basic level for our own entertainment. It's saying that their needs don't even matter, and all that matters is what we can get out of them, which is kind of the heart of the whole issue. And I think that you're right, that the fighting kind of really exemplifies that in a way, where you're seeing that there's no tangible benefit coming to us. We're not getting food, we're not getting clothing, it's just watching animals be tortured for just the entertainment of it, which is really sick. But at the same time, again, it kind of exemplifies the whole mindset that animals are here for us to use rather than animals being here for their own purposes. And it is happening, of course, across the world. Like you said, you know, the bullfights in Spain and whatnot. But, you know, and we do bring up other countries' issues, of course, at our conference. That's important. But, you know, we also like to remind people how much that we are responsible at home for this. You know, that we kill more animals for food in this country, or not just for food, for every purpose, because food animals make up over 90% of all the animals being raised for any reason in this country. So we kill more animals in the U.S. than pretty much any country. I think China just passed us, but keep in mind that China's population is almost 4 times ours. So on a per-person level, no country is more responsible for animal cruelty than the U.S. is, you know, and that's something that... you know, we don't like to pass off our problems to others. You know, some people say, oh, the Chinese, they kill dogs for food, that's so sick of them. Or Africa, they hunt lions and zebras in Africa, that's so sick of them. And we say, you know, what's the difference? Why is a chicken any less worthy of life than a lion or a dog, you know? And one thing I think you'd be very interested to know is that the founder of our organization, Dr. Alex Hirschhaft, is actually a Holocaust survivor.
Wow, no kidding.
No kidding, yeah. He was born in Warsaw, in Poland, and he was there when the shift to the Warsaw Ghetto happened, and his father, unfortunately, was killed, and he and his mother were able to escape to Western Europe and then to Israel, and then his mother stayed in Israel, and he came to America as a teenager. And one of the things that I've heard him say in his speeches, and I'm having to paraphrase here, he's the one who says it right, not me. But, you know, he says that when the phrase never again was popularized after the Holocaust, you know, he said for him, he wanted to make sure he wasn't just saying never again about happening to him. He wanted to make sure that he was working for never again on behalf of everyone. And so, you know, he works for peace movements. He works for Palestinian-Israeli peace, he worked to fight the Iraq war, and he's worked for an environmental movement and for religious freedom movements. But, you know, he said the one that really compelled him the most was the animal issue, for the very reason we talked about earlier, you know, that we're trying to say that these are the beings who are the most vulnerable, and instead of using our might to protect them, we're using our might to exploit them, you know, and so just trying to find more ways to, you know, to just bring about justice for, you know, for the most exploited and vulnerable amongst us.
Absolutely. I want to get, we're winding down this, your this segment, so I want to get your contact. But first, I want to tell you, our people, that we have, every year in L.A., we have a big vegan day on Thanksgiving, where we all get together, we all bring food, 200 people, at a big park in West Los Angeles. And one year, we had a turkey running around. And also, there's been a lot of information by animal rights groups talking about letting the public know that animals have feelings. They just the same as we have feelings. They're sensitive, and they feel bad, and they just very emotional. So they don't deserve the treatment that we're giving them, the way they're... And now one more issue I want to bring up, and then you can add to this as we finish up here, the dogs in China. There is a place in New Chinatown. There's Old Chinatown in downtown Los Angeles and a New Chinatown in the San Gabriel Valley, and a nicer area. A lot of Asians live there. A lot of Chinese live there, and they love dog meat. You're right. Here's what happened. A friend of mine, a former great athlete, was down on his times, and he was looking for a job. Somebody contacted him in that area and said, why don't you work for the for a restaurant over there and in Chinatown? And he said, okay, what do I do? Well, pretty easy. All you do is pick up dogs, dead or alive, and bring them into to the restaurant. So he did that. He brought in a live dog, and I told him they're going to kill that dog. He didn't believe me. So he stayed by and listened by. I told him, stand by and listen and see what they do. And he stood outside the place, and all of a sudden he heard, the dog crying and yelling, and all of a sudden just got dead. So after that, he didn't do the job anymore. He told me about it, and we went back to try to get put pressure and put these people under, you know, the police to arrest them or do something. And by that time, they covered up. They were really doing this in a real, real cover-up type of a way. So that is just cruel. Not only that, but cows. You know that cows are now fed other cows that are dead, sick, and have cancer and have whatever, all kinds of illnesses. They feed the cows their own other cows.
Oh, I know, I know.
It's pretty sad.
Yeah,
if you want to give your contact information, and then I'm going to give you a one-minute, last-minute closing thoughts, anything else that we didn't say, or you want to just add or motivate our listeners. Your contact information and a phone number where people can find out about your big conferences.
Sure, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I just want to say that it is daunting. There's a lot of bad stuff that our species, unfortunately, has chosen to do with our power and with our might and with our strength. But there's a lot, you know, with a great problem comes a great opportunity. And, you know, because animals are being exploited in such large numbers, it means that sometimes just a small action on our part can save a lot of animals. You know, for instance, this might really surprise people to know that almost 90% of the animal, or over 90% of the animals that we eat are chickens. So you add up all the cows, all the pigs, no, the land animals, not counting fish, all the turkeys, cows, pigs, chickens combined, over 9 out of 10 of those animals are chickens. So just by cutting the amount of chicken that you eat in half, you cut the amount of animal cruelty in your life in half, basically, right there. Simple action.
Right.
Cut the chicken in half, you cut the cruelty in half, right there, one choice. And so, you know, I just want people, you know, who feel overwhelmed by all these issues, thinking about the bullfights in Spain and the dog meat in China. You know, you can't always stop what happens in Spain or China, but you can stop the cruelty that happens in our own backyards, you know, just by taking simple steps. And if someone wants to go further than that, we definitely hope they check out our conference. It's arconference.org, Animal Rights Conference. The pre-registration is now closed. You just have to show up on site if you want to come in. But it's at the Westin LAX for 4 days, July 10th through 13th. Again, we'd love to have some people out there to learn more about the issues or to get more involved if they already, you know, already care about the issues.
Right. Excellent. Great, great. I hope people will take that down. The LAX means LA International Airport. There's the Westin Hotel is right by on Century, heading towards the, or coming from the airport.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, good luck with that. I do want to speak to you. I want to speak to you about your director, the gentleman, the older gentleman that was in the Holocaust and all his trials and tribulations. We might consider him for a future show.
Oh, yeah. He would love to be on, I'm sure. Yeah.
Great. Michael, you've been really great. This information is so much needed, and animal cruelty and just what's going on in the whole animal world. I wish you the best of luck for your organization and especially for the conference, and I
Thank
will
you.
Be in touch with you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting you next week.
Very good. Thank you again. Take care.
All right. Have a good one.
Okay. What a great show. I really feel so great when we have guests speak out so well and speak out about issues that are so important to all of us. I mean, I'm out there. I'm out there on all the issues. That's why they gave me this radio show, Gary Null. I follow every issue you can think of, when body, mind, spirit, and I'm always learning new things, though. All of us learn new things. And there are mentors, there's gurus, but guess what? Every mentor and every guru had one themselves. They had a master, somebody to taught them. So we continue to teach each other, and that's how the world evolves. So we have another guest I'm going to introduce you now to our second guest. His name is Brett Wilcox. He's an author, a speaker, and an athlete. And he is on a six-month or so journey. He's going to get into the details about it, running across the country, a number of miles every day, started in Huntington Beach, California, some months ago, about 5 months ago or so. He'll give us the exact details on that. And they're heading towards Atlantic City, New Jersey, to finish up. And Brett is running with his son, and his wife and daughter are in an RV going with him, supporting him, and they're going to different towns. So, Brett, thank you so much for being on the show. Welcome.
Thank you, Bobby. It's good to be on the show again.
Right. I've had you on at least once every 3 or 4 weeks, and this time we're giving you a little more time and so we can get more time. Usually we're just announcing what you're doing and having people respond. First, we do have a lot of new listeners all the time. This is the fastest growing progressive radio station in the world, Progressive Radio Network is. And I'd like you to tell our people, give them a GMO 101. What is genetically engineered foods? Tell us basics on that, please.
That's a great, great question, and I appreciate you asking that, because I talk to people about it all the time, and I kind of forget that many people really haven't heard about GMOs, and many people, in fact, just this past week, David and I were running down the road, and it was a very, very hot, humid day, and a man was standing outside of his house, and he had a big garden hose there, and he says, "Hey, do you guys want to cool off with some water?" And we rolled our stroller over to him, and he saw that on the front of our stroller it said we were running for a GMO-free USA. And he looked at me and said, "Do you know what a GMO is?" And I said, "Yeah, I think so. It stands for genetically modified organisms." And he said, "Do you know that everything in my garden is genetically modified?" And I realized at that point that I was talking to a man who had been influenced by the talking points of the chemical companies that put out the idea that everything we eat is genetically modified. And that's one of their biggest lies. And when we use the phrase genetically modified organism, we're talking about something that can't occur in nature. We're talking about the chemical companies taking a gene from a bacteria and inserting that into the DNA of our food. And that sort of thing can't happen naturally. That can't happen with traditional crossbreeding. So when this guy was talking about all the fruits and vegetables in his garden, he was talking about traditional crossbreeding, and the chemical companies want him to believe that genetic modification and traditional crossbreeding are the same thing. And they, in fact, are not the same thing at all. They're very, very different. Traditional crossbreeding is something that farmers have done for generations and for thousands of years. But we haven't had the technological capability of taking a bacteria, the gene from a bacteria, and splicing that gene into our food until just the last 20 or 30 years. So that's what a GMO is. And he went on to say, they're doing that to increase the yields or to make things more drought resistant. And I said, no, that's another fallacy that the industry puts out there. They do this so that the genetically modified crops can either produce a poison or absorb a poison. And that's really the only traits that they've been able to successfully input into the genetically modified crops since they started this 20 years ago.
Right. Wow, that's fabulous. Good information on GMOs and what's going on. Now, you've been going across the country. You started hunting the beach, five and a half months ago?
Five and a half months ago. It was January 18th.
Good. Thank you for telling me that. And approximately what date are you going to arrive in New Jersey, very roughly, or what week or what?
Well, we're planning on finishing our run at the Atlantic Ocean at Atlantic City on July 19th, and that day is special for us in more than one way. That day marks the 25th wedding anniversary for Chris and myself, okay. So that'll be a nice present to each other after being on the road for 6 months.
That is fabulous, and I want to let you know, how old are you? You're 50 what?
I'm 53, but my face is 2,700 miles old.
Well, you've been out there in the sun a lot. I know that. That's rough, but what a sacrifice you're doing. And to be 53 years old and running across the country, that is almost like a Jack LaLanne story, I could tell you.
Well, give me 40 years and it'll be Jack LaLanne.
Well, Jack LaLanne, at the age of 70, swam 5 miles carrying boats around the chain around his mouth, and several major boats were right behind him, and he tied his legs together so he couldn't. His legs, all he had was his arms. Oh, his story.
Yes,
7 years old.
Yes, I am a big time fan of Jack LaLanne, and I was very saddened when he passed away. And I assure you that I am no Jack LaLanne.
No, I know that I'm not one either. And some people tell me I am because I do a lot of things myself, and there's no one like him. And I don't know if there'll ever be one like him, but you do a lot, Brett. You're at your age, and I know your son's young, and you got your family with you. What a great story this is, and I wish we could get some more publicity, but you know how the medias are everywhere. But let's talk about your trip, some of the things. I'd like to ask you about St. Louis. When you went to St. Louis, a few weeks ago, you were met by a number of people there that were protesting against Monsanto. That's their headquarters in St. Louis. Can you tell us a little more about that, please?
Yes, we arrived in St. Louis on May 24th, and May 24th was the date that was set for the March Against Monsanto, not only in St. Louis, but in hundreds of cities around the world. 400 or 500 different marches were held on that date, as they were the previous year. And we had been contacted earlier by the hosts of the March Against Monsanto in St. Louis, and they said, would you be interested in speaking? And they invited David and myself to be the keynote speakers at that event, and I just felt like that was a huge honor and a responsibility to get to speak right across the street from Monsanto's headquarters at the March Against Monsanto.
That is great. I'm all right, Mark. So I know there was events all over the world. You're right. That was wonderful. I heard some large numbers of events going on all over, and there are going to be more events, and we're going to continue to stay on genetically engineered foods because I think you might be aware there's a lady in Connecticut, and I'm going to have her hopefully go down to Atlantic City, but it's not too far for her. Her name is Diana Reed. She is doing a boycott against all the foods that are carrying genetically engineered organisms. And that she is, Gerber, for example, has a lot of other companies under this. Kellogg's, the same thing. And these people are just relentless. They won't. No matter what we tell them, or no matter how we protest, they're just really doing what they're doing. So we're boycotting them. We're trying to get a boycott together. This is a one-woman boycott show that's putting on. She's doing great, great work, and I'm going to have her on this show again, possibly. And I'd like to find out when you're going to be on July 19th. That happens to be a Saturday, I believe.
That's correct.
Yes, it is. That's 2 weeks from now. And I'd like to talk to you about how, if we can't speak to you, we can speak to somebody. We'll get our own GMO person to speak on that day and talk about what's going on there. So if you can figure out a way to help us on that so we can promote on this show. And I will also let some other people know about that because, as you know, Gary Knoll, the owner of this station, is in New York City. And that's not far at all from Atlantic City. It's right across the river, I think. We'd like to have them help promote this, and I will let them know. I'll let his producer know, so maybe they might want to interview somebody like yourself, or they might want to talk about what's going to happen over there. So if you have some, or if you know anyone who can write up something on that, on what's going to happen on that day, and email it to me, and then I'll try to get it out wherever I can. And if you don't even have to do a thing, I can have somebody call you, and you could just tell them all the facts and information, and they can write the press release or whatever we're going to do and send it out to get the word out to people. So you and I can talk about that in the next few days, Brett. I just love and admire what you're doing. I'm telling you, to run across the country is just a huge sacrifice, and you're doing it for a good cause. So tell us more about the little things that have happened on the trip and what you gained or what people have gained from your presence.
Thank you, Bobby. I look forward to talking to you about the finish of the run in Atlantic City, but I want to say also that we do have an event scheduled at the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia on July 17th at 9 a.m. So for the folks who are in that area, it would be really nice if you came out to the Liberty Bell, and we could get together, and we'll be speaking and saying a few things. And then at that point, David and I are going to continue running the final 60 miles towards Atlantic City. So between the 17th and the 19th, we'll do those last 60 miles.
Right, I'm going to announce that. Go ahead.
Your question about going across the country and what we've seen and what we've learned and who we've talked to, it's a huge question, and it's just been epic. It's okay to use the word epic in this case, or monumental, because truly what we've seen in crossing the country on foot has been epic. It's something that we can't ever forget, and it's been good from, I remember a Navajo farmer man in Navajo country in Arizona, and he talked to us about the importance of their native corn, and for the native people, the Navajo people, the corn is sacred. And he was talking about their fear that their corn is going to be contaminated by Monsanto's GMO corn. And so it's going to have this nasty little bacteria in it. And it's something that obviously they don't want in their corn because they consider it to be sacred as they received it from deity. So that was a really nice conversation. We've had conversations like that where we meet people all the way across the country. We stopped at Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company in Mansfield, Missouri, May 4th and 5th, and we were there as part of their spring planting festival. And we met hundreds of people that would come and talk to us at our booth and talk to us about GMOs and how they were doing their best to avoid GMOs and how much they did not like GMOs and did not appreciate Monsanto. In fact, we had, I think, three or four former Monsanto employees who came to us and said, yeah, we used to work at Monsanto, and we got out. We saw what was going on. We didn't like it, and so we got out of there as fast as we could. I kind of thought as we got into the Midwest that maybe we'd get more opposition from people because we were in the farming country. And I found that overall, common everyday moms and dads who go to the grocery store and buy food for their kids, those people in the Midwest, if anything, they were more opposed to GMOs than people in non-farming communities, because for them, the GMO issue is not just an issue at the grocery store. It's an issue when they go out their backyards and there's farmers all surrounding them and they're all spraying Roundup and other pesticides, and they're having to deal with that drift in the air or in the water, and their kids are out playing near these poisonous substances. So if anything, in the Midwest, the citizens there felt more strongly opposed to GMOs than we saw elsewhere.
Wow, that is great. Wow. You know, so many things are going on around the world. I wanted to add a few things, Brett, that there are 61 countries around the world that are making sure that GMO products are labeled. not only that, but there's four or five countries way up north. I'm not sure which countries are. I'm doing some research to find out. But in the area of Denmark, Finland, Sweden, I think Sweden is one of them, by the way, who not only do they not even forget about labeling, they won't even allow genetically engineered foods in their country, period. And not only that, but they don't allow Coca-Cola into their country. What a advanced country.
Good for them.
Isn't that great? I mean,
and of course, Coca-Cola is GMO, like virtually all processed products.
That's terrible. I mean, I saw a friend that was having problems, and the mechanic told him, listen, his battery had all this white stuff on it, you know, the cables. And some guy said, well, go buy a bottle of Coke and spray it on it. It'll get rid of that stuff. Now, if it can do that to your battery, imagine what it does to your stomach. Really?
Yeah, it's not food. It's definitely not food.
Well, let's not get off subject, but anyway, that's me getting off subject. But there's scientific information that's backing up everything that you're saying and that we believe on this show. In Argentina, there are people, babies coming out deformed because of the fact that they were fed the wrong things, the babies and the mothers, and it's a horrible thing going on. Now, getting back to corn in Mexico, in the country of Mexico, this farmer, the Navajo farmer, is right in line with what's going on in Mexico. He's worried because in Mexico, as we speak, GMOs or Monsanto is trying to make a deal with the government. They may have already made the deal. I can't be following every single thing, but I want to get into that issue too, because the number one food in Mexico is corn. My grandfather lived to be 108, and his main staple was corn. The man was healthy to be. I saw him when he was 104 years old, as I was a young child, and my father was born for him when this man was an older age. But corn is revered in Mexico. It is a great food, as you know, but now that it's contaminated in many parts of the world and many parts of this country, it's the only corn you can eat, if you can find it, is certified organic corn. But anyway, getting back to this whole thing about the scientific information, as we wind you down, Brett, I'd like you to give your basic information about how people can help you, how they might be able to donate to your cause and what you're doing, and give your websites and contact information slowly so we can understand it, please.
Yes, thanks for bringing that up. As you might imagine, running across the country has been a huge financial sacrifice for us. Chris and I both had to quit our jobs, and it's going to be quitting our jobs for a total of 7 or 8 months before we get back to Alaska and get back to work in our old jobs. So that's a big thing. We're not rich by any stretch of the imagination. And when we started our run, a good friend of ours in Sitka, Alaska, had put together a great video for an Indiegogo campaign. And that campaign brought in some funding, and it was very needed and very helpful and much appreciated. But the campaign only ran 60 days, and our run is running 180 days. So just a few days ago, our friend, again, launched a new Indiegogo campaign. And it's just brand new, so there's hardly any donations in it at all. But we're hopeful that people will recognize the value in what we're doing in both the run, in a father and son running together, and also in the mission in trying to promote a GMO-free USA. So if people go to Indiegogo.com, and that's spelled Indy, I-N-D-I-E, Indiegogo.com, and they can, the name of the campaign is Help the Wilcox Family Finish Strong. So if they go in there and in the search bar, just type in Wilcox Family or Finish Strong or the whole thing or whatever, it'll take them to the campaign, and they can click on that and watch the video. There's actually five or six different videos that our friend edited and put out there online for people to see. And they can see what we're all about and who we are and what we're doing and how crazy we are in front of the camera. And if they feel so inclined, we would be very, very grateful for any donations that come our way.
Wow, that is great. So, again, you're going to be at a big event for the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia on Thursday, July 17th, which is only 12 days away from right now. And then you're
going to
finish up in Atlantic City on the Saturday the 19th. And I do want to speak to you about those so we can see if we can get more pub for you, publicity, wherever we can. Now, it's not easy nowadays because, you know, the mainstream medias are really not in tune with making change, especially confronting big corporations.
That's true. So, we haven't done well on the media in big cities, but we have been in several newspapers and a couple of TV stations in smaller cities as we've crossed here in the Midwest back east. So we do appreciate those smaller towns that are open to our message.
Yes, and you have a lot to talk about. I would think that you could write a book on what you just went through this last. I that would help you promote it. To know what's going on in small town America is very, very important, especially around the GMO issue. So, listen, Brett, thank you so much, and say hello to the family, and I'll be talking to you in the next few days about some of the various things that we talked about here, and everybody support this man and what he's doing, and see if you can donate some money, even a little bit of money if you don't have a lot of money, because they're doing a great sacrifice. I can't thank you enough for everything you're doing, and thank you for being on the show. Okay?
May I take just a few seconds more and share our website?
Go right ahead. Take a minute. Go ahead.
Okay. We blog at runningthecountry.com. Running the country, and that's all one word. So if you go there and you can see our journey as it's progressed across the country, and we post things every few days, every chance we get, talking about either what we're doing on the road or bigger things that are happening in the GMO world, such as Sarah Leaney's study that was recently republished that showed that GMOs and Roundup truly do have severe health effects. So if you go to runningthecountry.com, you can read about that. If you want to contact us personally, you can go there and look at our contact information and shoot us an email or give us a call or whatever, and we'd be happy to talk with you.
That is great. You're wonderful. And I'll be speaking to you because I do want to announce these activities over the next two shows, on the 12th and again on the 19th. Thanks again, Brett, and good luck with your run, and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you, Bobby.
All right. Very good. What a great show. My God, I really enjoyed it because we're all getting some good information on with these guests, and that's what I strive for, the best guests and the best information. Let's dig it out. You can always call me an investigative reporter if you'd like. No problem. All right, let's finish up the show, and at the end of the show, our engineer is going to play our theme song again. We are the world. That's who we are. We are the world, and we make this world. This show is called Let's Create a Better World, and we also do a lot on healthy aging, which means body, mind, spirit, exercise, yoga. It means against the GMOs, against the wars, against corporations and pharmaceutical industries and medical industries. We're pointing out all the things that they're doing wrong. This country has to turn around. So my name is Bobby Elias. I'm going to give you my phone number if you have any thing you want to call me about. My number is 323-770-1925. Also, you can catch this show not only on PRN.FM, but also on your phone. Tell friends that are not near a laptop or computer or don't have one to call the number I'm going to give you right now, and they can hear any show on PRN. I'd like them to hear every Saturday, 2 p.m. The phone number to call is area 712-432-7231 at that time. And my show is, like I say, Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern time. It goes for an hour. All right, let's thank everybody that helped us. First, let's thank Gary Null, the owner of this station, Progressive Radio Network. Great job he's doing. He's on every week, Monday through Friday, Pacific time, 12 noon Eastern time. I hear him every day, as are a lot of people in Los Angeles that are part of our Gary Null Health Support Group, which I am the director. I want to thank our guests, Michael Weberman from the National Animal Rights Convention Conference, and he's also the director of FARM. He's the program director. I want to thank Brett Wilcox from GMO. Don't forget to support him, and you'll hear more about their activities the next 2 weeks. I want to thank the producer in New York of PRN, and that is Jason. Thank our L.A. producer, Jimmy D., our associate producer who's been doing a ton of work, And thank you, Stuart Hackle. I want to thank our engineer, Martin, doing a great job. And I want to thank you, the listeners, for tuning in to this show and supporting us. So thank you. Next week, we'll have a surprise guest. So be sure to tune in. We have some more guests. We have Garcini the Psychic again on soon and some other great, great shows coming up in the near future. So stay with us. Thank you all, and we'll hope to hear from you next week, Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time.